You are Locked On Rockies, your daily Colorado Rockies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rock on, Rockies fans. Welcome into the Locked On Rockies podcast for the 19th day of January. It's a fun one. It's a good one. I'm going to keep this short and sweet so we can get right into the crossover because we're going to cram it all into one episode today for you all to enjoy. We are heading to the AL West to talk with Steve Granato and Locked On Angels. Steve's going to blow you away. Honestly, I'm just going to stop talking there, and I'm just going to let you. Steve has a great hypothetical for you to start off this episode. So I'm not even going to start. I'm not even going to tease it any more than that. I just want to thank you for making us your first listen of the day for your daily Colorado sports coverage. You can follow Locked On Avalanche, Broncos, Nuggets, and us, Locked On Rockies at LO Rockies. All right, let's dive in.
Paul Holden of Locked On Rockies, Steve Granato of Locked On Angels, ready to duke it out. Paul, how you doing, man? How's the lockout?
Thrilling. And you know what? Nothing screams confidence in getting deals done like having Rockies owner Dick Monfort leading the charge. So, you know, contract negotiations are going to be in a great, great place as the Rockies are heading it up.
I'm sure it's extremely, like, confidence-inducing. You're like, yeah, as soon as that lockout ends, baby, we're coming for it. Paul, I want to jump right into this, dude. So we're going to have, every Locked On show, we have a couple of segments. But today, this is why you're clicking this video and listening to this episode on the audio side. I want to talk about the prospect of Shohei Ohtani being a Colorado Rocky. Hold on, Angels fans. Relax. Don't freak out. That's not a thing. We are playing in a hypothetical world right now. So as everybody knows, Coors Field plays much different than Angel Stadium. Angel Stadium is pitcher friendly. Coors Field, not so much. So I've heard. So, Paul, I have something very special for you today.
I'm very excited.
I have gone in and I have figured it out.
Oh.
And again, this is the title of this episode. The question we are asking today is, what if Shohei Ohtani was a Colorado Rocky or played at Coors Field? Okay. So I got some numbers for you. So let's look at the 2021 season. So Shohei Ohtani hit 46 home runs in 2021, right? Mm-hmm. It was the second most in Angels history. So Angels Stadium, wow, where he plays half his games, of course, is 148 feet above sea level. So we're pretty damn close to sea level here, right, in Angels Stadium. Coors Field, by comparison to a sea level ballpark, travels the ball 5 to 10% further, okay? That's coming from the University of Colorado Boulder. Just want to make sure you know that. So that is, I didn't just make that up. Right. 5 to 10% is where you can anticipate the ball traveling further at Coors Field as opposed to sea level. Okay, so I got some spray charts for you. So here are the spray charts. Left side, if you're listening, I'll do my best to explain them. On the left side, that's Angel Stadium. All the home hits, all the times Shohei hit the ball in 2021 at Angel Stadium is on the left. Those same hits are overlaid to Coors Field on the right side. So again, these are not adjusted for ballpark factors. This is straight up where the ball went and where it would have looked like on their respective fields. Okay, so I have gone in and circled the ones I anticipate, this isn't extremely scientific, but I just anticipate would have traveled far enough at Coors Field. So this is all home games for Shohei in 2021, played at Coors Field. If he played those games at Coors Field, I have circled 9 specific hits that were either outs, doubles, or triples, that just how they ended up being. So 9 extra, if he had played every game he played at Angel Stadium, instead played it at Coors Field, and everything played out the exact same way, he would have hit 9 more home runs. And that's being a little conservative. Some of those, kind of teetering. I could see maybe 3, 4, or 5 more that might have gone the distance. So if that were the case, Shohei would have hit 55 home runs in 2021. Which would have broke the previous record of 47 home runs, a single season home runs, set by Troy Glaus in 2000. If he were a member of the Rockies, and again, these games played out the exact same way, he would have broke the Rockies record of 49 set by Todd Helton in 2001 and Larry Walker in 1997.
That's so fascinating.
And that's on the minimal layer. Like, right. That's on the, we're being conservative.
The only thing I was curious with the balls to right field, if they're high enough to go over the new barrier that they put up, because that was one of the countermeasures that former GM Jeff, it's called the Breidich barrier. They were just like, oh, everyone hits it to right field, so we'll just make it taller. And so I think it's been hurting the Rockies more than it's hurt the opposition at this point. But that's, I mean, shattering the Rockies, and I got to tell you, all those ones that are like on the line, I'm going to go ahead and give it to him, because I got to watch Shohei, I think, twice this year in person. And when I saw him hit, I think like he hit one of his monster shots in Seattle. I think it was something like maybe 460. And the arc, holy smokes. Can that dude just swing and hit a baseball? And I'm going to say more than what'd you say, 9 that you circled? Do you think it'd
nine.
Be 9
I just,
more?
Yeah, conservatively 9. Could it be, if you really look at it, could be up to around 14.
14. Yeah, maybe 14's too much, but 9 sounds about right. I mean, when you look at it, especially if the ball, a night when the ball is carrying at 20th and Blake, you know, you got that thin air. It is really interesting to so how did you, was it just, you just looked at the distance of those and you just kind of added like 5?
Just straight up like eye test, man. Again, it's not scientific, but I got something even more for you.
Okay.
This is not possible. Obviously, this is not possible. But while I was doing this research, this hit my brain. What would happen if Shohei Ohtani played every game at Coors Field? Every single game. I have those numbers for you. Here is the spray chart of every ball that Shohei Ohtani hit in 2021. You can see this dude sprays the ball all over the place and prefers right field. Mm-hmm. He's a left-handed bat. There you go. So I know it's hard to really tell. I kind of went and had to kind of cheat a little bit. But I looked and tried my best to count as many as I thought would leave the yard if he played every single game at Coors Field. I counted 21.
Wow.
21. Which means that's at minimum 21. If Shohei Ohtani played every single game at Coors Field in 2021, he would have hit 67 home runs, which would be third all time behind Barry Bonds in 2001 when he hit 73, McGuire in 98 when he hit 71, and of course he would have leapfrogged just over Sammy Sosa in that 98 year with 66. So Shohei would have hit a minimum, if he played every single game the exact same way, 67 home runs at Coors Field.
Steve, before we keep going, I got to tell you about our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the perfect way to stay on that New Year's resolution to eat better by having a nice, tasty treat that isn't going to really push it over in terms of, for a big thing for me, sugar. Sugar is a big thing that I struggle with. I struggle with it continuously. I got a big sweet tooth, and Built Bars are a great way to help knock out that candy bar hankering that you might have, because they are still covered in 100% real chocolate, and they got all sorts of delicious flavors because they don't taste like other protein bars with that chalky or waxy chemical spill type taste. They are covered in 100% real chocolate with 130 calories, most Built Bars, I should say, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Here's an idea for the new year. Go to all your secret treat stashes at home, in the pantry, at the office, in the car, wherever, and throw them all out and replace them with Built Bar. And I promise you, you can see the results there. Go check out all the delicious flavors available, like the coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, and so much more at Built.com. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. Stay with your New Year's resolutions and save money while doing it by using the promo code LOCK15 at Built.com for 15% off your order. You know, honestly, the most impressive thing about that to me is the fact that he doesn't pass all of them. You know, you'd think that Barry Bonds record is still so impressive, and same with the McGuire and the Sosa. But yeah, it takes Shohei playing, you know, all 162 games at a hitter-friendly park to get into that realm. But it's one thing you got to understand it and put it into perspective when you, when you're going to Colorado and you're kind of a Rockies fan. Yes, Coors is going to be a factor, but there's a lot of things that go into that as well. There's early in the year, it's very cold, and you know, the beginning of that season is much harder to hit in the beginning of the year in Coors Field versus you know, towards the end, and pitch especially. That's the interesting thing with Shohei. Those offensive numbers would receive a boost, but I wonder if we revere him as much as a pitcher if he has to face the same elements on the other side with the added physical wear down of playing at altitude.
Yeah, that would be very interesting to see, but also Shohei Ohtani is a freak.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know. he's easily one of the most impressive athletes I have seen play. I think I missed a day where he got to pitch and hit. I think I was one day off of when he was going to do. That's so fascinating. Is that the plan for 2022 too? Is it to just keep rolling out with the pitcher hitter combo?
Baby. Let it ride.
Let it ride. I mean, why not? I mean, I'm all for it. I think it's cool. I mean, and it's so good for baseball. I think it's so exciting. And not only that, an international player being able to come and do that too. I mean, he's just such a beloved. He is a perfect face for baseball. You know, I think still. I mean, that's what you want to show for baseball. Hey, here's a guy that hits 45 home runs and a bunch of RBIs and he's going to be, you know, a top of your rotation type of pitcher. It's incredible. I mean, it's something that maybe will inspire some people to come down the line. But, you know, hey, I tell you what, send him on over. You can pay us, you know, take the Rockies mentality. Send him over our way. We'll send you a couple of prospects and one of, you know, we'll throw in, let's just keep it going. We'll send you Austin Gomber. We'll just keep it moving. Mm. And the same two prospects that we traded for Nolan Arenado. And then you can pay us part of his contract so he can play for us. How does that sound? Mm.
Only if you throw in go back in time and give us Tyler Chatwood back.
Yeah, there you go. Tyler Chatwood. I mean, there's these random Rockies, especially I'm sitting here watching these Mariners game. I'm like, Tyler Anderson, huh? He's out here being a stud for these M's down the stretch, and it's like there's so many of these Rockies that just pop up, and then you're like, oh yeah, well, good for them, I guess. Why didn't they either stay or what happened? What was going on in Denver that didn't translate?
Well, that's what you wanted to talk about today, Paul. You kind of wanted to compare and contrast the Angels and the Rockies a little bit. Before we started recording, you mentioned that you had heard that the Angels were the Rockies of the American League. I don't know if I would go that far, but no offense. All due respect.
I
love your logo.
You know, the Rockies are the only team where it's like every story that pops up about them during the offseason is execs have no idea what they're doing. Or
sure.
Some say that they don't have a plan and blah, blah. And then we're just sitting over here as Rockies fans like, oh, yeah, the owner just promoted his son. Cool. Oh, the new GM? He's from within the organization. Great. So much for that outside GM search that you told us was going to happen. What I mean, kind of leading into this whole thing. The Rockies, kind of, we know, but they built a competitive team and were in playoffs and contending with the Dodgers and had – it's crazy. I don't know. You know, people forget. Just a few years ago, the starting infield for the Colorado Rockies was Nolan Arenado, Trevor Story, DJ LeMahieu, and then for some reason they decided Ian Desmond and Daniel Murphy was the answer at first base. That's a prime example of why couldn't we have found CJ Crone? Like, where was CJ Crone just floating a 280 first baseman that can play good
Anaheim.
Enough defense? Yeah, exactly.
He was in Anaheim.
Yeah, and so it's like we finally have this pitching staff that's going, oh, we didn't sign anyone in free agency. Nolan Arenado wants a trade now? Oh, you traded him. Oh, and you're paying him. You're paying the team to it's coming up. I think the year anniversary is coming up. I think it's sometime in February. And I'm just going to make it the title. I'm still mad because I feel bad. I still go on crossovers and I rant and rave, but the Rockies aren't in a
position. It's the whole identity.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. And the identity, they haven't committed to a new identity. Okay, Nolan's gone. Now John Gray and Trevor Story are gone. You know, Trevor Story not officially, but John Gray officially is gone. Charlie Blackman is 36 and just came off of his worst season that he's played. And none of the Rockies prospects, I'm going to say Zach Veen's actually a pretty exciting prospect. I think he's really showed some cool stuff. But in terms of farm system grades, farm system, all this, and the younger quote-unquote players, most young players on the Rockies are back half of 20. There's no one that's got the flash. There's no excitement, and there's no commitment to this identity other than we love our starting pitchers. Well, if you love your starting pitchers, why don't you build an offense behind them? Because if you look at the current depth chart of the Rockies right now, they are not going to be that miraculous team at home that they were in 2021. This will be a team that will be the team that everyone thought they were going to be last year. Because even though Trevor Story did a down year, he was still their highest wins above replacement player. And now John Gray and Trevor Story leave for one draft pick. That's all the Rockies get from the departure of John Gray and Trevor Story. Every move, I just want to know why. Just come out and tell me why. And so that's kind of, I guess, my long-winded intro into we as Rockies fans have been just kind of sitting here frustrated for the past 3 years, you know, 3-4 years, especially slamming the competitive window down. But Angels fans, I feel like, have to be feeling some frustrations too, where you got a lot of high talent, but things just aren't coming together.
Yeah, I mean, it all stems to pitching. I mean, Locked On Angels fans are got to be exhausted of hearing me talk about it. I love Locked On Angels listeners. They are great. They're always engaging, which is awesome because it helps me format the show. The amount of comments that we get that are, hey, have you considered the Angels getting pitching? It's just like, yeah, I have. So everybody's commenting that, I know, we all know, we're all in the same boat. We're all there, dude. So it's extremely frustrating. It's infuriating to be like, on one hand, oh my God, Shohei Ohtani is like incredibly a specimen and also with the cutest face in MLB. Like he's got the cutest little smile and like he's such a little guy, a little butterfly unicorn that he is. And then you have Mike Trout, who's just like a mute monster who just like speaks once every 6 months and then also simultaneously gets his 400th like MVP. And you're just like, what's happening? How come the Angels are 15 under?
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know the answer. You don't need to comment it. Yeah. I know it. I know the answer.
All right, Steve, one more time. I got more friends to talk about here. And our friends at Bet Online want to make sure that you are winning big this playoff season for football. And as the playoffs near for basketball and hockey, all sorts of good stuff. Bet Online would like to wish you a happy new betting year and continue to be the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year, new updated desktop and mobile website, so you can sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's a promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you get started at Bet Online. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Were you surprised at the deadline, maybe that this past year, or was the Trout injury kind of being that they didn't maybe go after John Gray or and potentially Trevor Story? I'm not sure if the Angels necessarily needed them. I was always under the belief that if the Rockies were going to deal them at the deadline, it'd be a package deal because of Story's down year and the elbow issues he was having. And John Gray being a good pitcher, but he is a 3-5.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to Bryce there on Locked On Rangers. John Gray is currently the quote unquote ace of the Rangers. And it's like, I don't want to go that far for John Gray, but I'm happy that if he's pitching that 3-5, was there any interest that, you know, of the Angels maybe going after any of these Rockies at the deadline?
Well, one, John Gray will be 3-5 in 4 years. Like once the Leiter and Wynn get there,
probably closer to like five, I would imagine, honestly. Cause I hear the Rangers have a lot of pitchers.
They got guys, dude. And I've seen them. It is an interesting idea to bring up Gray and Story because that would have 100% filled some needs the Angels needed here this season. It's not like they were really contending towards the deadline. I mean, so here's the weird thing. I have a weird theory, not even a theory, but like an actual, like, you can actually look at the numbers. I don't think contention really matters once you come to the deadline.
Yeah.
Just look at the Yankees. The Yankees and Angels were two games apart at the deadline. The Angels did nothing. The Yankees did something. I'm not saying it worked out for the Yankees, but they made the playoffs. So look at the Cardinals. Doesn't necessarily matter what's going on at the deadline. So I think contention at the deadline thing is a myth.
Mm-hmm.
But you bring up an interesting point that that would have filled two holes down the future line for the Angels, because the Angels do have a hole at short and have an obvious need for front end pitching, but would settle for middle tier, which is kind of where they've been at right now. You know, Noah Syndergaard, Michael Lorenzen is kind of like where they're at right now. But yeah, that would have been an interesting prospect. The thing is, though, is the Angels don't have a ton of trade chips.
Mm.
And that has always, that has been hampering the Angels for the last 5, 6, 7 years, is the lack of trade chips.
Yeah, if the Rockies were just holding firm that it was a big haul that they were going to ask for Trevor Story, yeah, and instead they're going to get that one draft pick, and as a quote-unquote draft and develop team, they're going to be super excited. But, you know, that's a prime example of the Rockies contradicting themselves. They develop Nolan and Trevor Story, and where will both of them be next year? Because in my whole philosophy with the competitive window of the Rockies is 21, honestly, 20 through 22, that was going to be win now. This is when the Rockies, because it's Nolan in the thicket, that opt-out's passed for Nolan. He's committed to the Rockies. He's here. You re-sign Story to bring him back in there, and you keep building with the competitive Rockies that you had. Now, instead, I don't have the Rockies making the playoffs for 4 years. Unless if they shock everyone and come out and spend big this offseason, they have enough pitching. If they build enough offense, that they could flirt with a wild card, especially an expanded a playoff that we potentially might be getting with new CBA. But I don't know. I mean, maybe the Angels might be in a different position if with a couple of these moves. I don't see the Rockies getting close to the division title. I mean, this Rockies team is not going to compete with the Dodgers, even with all those pieces they have lost and might lose. The Dodgers will still be good and then maybe start a decline where, like, again, if the Rockies were still with that core, with that team they had, would be getting better while the Dodgers are getting worse, quote unquote. I know they just won 100 and something games, but I'm just saying, you know, in terms of people on their roster, money, all that stuff is becoming an issue for the Dodgers. So, but now I don't see the Rockies getting even sniffing that top spot. I'm curious what you think, maybe with some of these moves with the Angels, if it's at least a step in the right direction to get to that wild card, maybe to that fighting for the division towards the stretch. Yeah. I know it's going to be tough because that AL West is going to be good.
Well, the thing about the NL West is interesting with the Dodgers is they led the league in ERA and WHIP last year, and that is factoring in still the lack of Clayton Kershaw, the situation with the name I never mentioned.
Right.
and then, yeah, like, oh, Max Scherzer had a great year. It's like you're losing Kershaw and you're losing Scherzer, really. Like, that's really what's happening. But you only had Scherzer for half a season, not even half a season anyway. You had him for, like, what, 12 starts, 13 starts? So, like, even with that, like, even their team ERA was still that low. So, like, I don't think the Dodgers are falling off as hard as you might think. And then you got to think the Padres are going to fall as hard as they did again. I don't think so. I think that would be pretty miraculous if that happened. As far as the AL West is concerned, it's way more open than the NL West is. Mm-hmm. The Astros are pretty clear at this point are going to be losing Carlos Correa. And that's a pretty big blow to their offense.
Huge blow. I mean, Correa is probably their best player, no?
Yeah. Yeah, he is. And most consistent, especially in 2021 and 2020. Like, the way Jose Altuve has fallen off the last year and a half or so. I mean, I know he still had a decent year, but, like, not Jose Altuve.
He wasn't Jose Altuve. I mean, you're hearing Jose Altuve all the time. I mean, he was probably one of the most popular
first ballot
people in
guy.
Baseball.
Yeah. And then what happened?
I wonder.
I don't know. It's kind of weird how that happened. But yes, the AL West is more open because I don't think it's going to take 100 wins to win the AL West. I think it's going to be somewhere between 93 to 96. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't seem like a lot, but that's like a pretty big leap forward to get to 100 as opposed to 94.
Yeah.
So the Angels need to be 15 wins better than they were last year, 20 wins better than they were last year. So with the additions that they have, are they that much better? I still think it's going to take one more arm, one more reliever, and I think they have some guys in the system right now that are going to battle it out for short. And that's kind of where we're at right now with the Angels. So we'll see, dude. I don't know. I don't know if they're necessarily.
Well, a certain center fielder is going to come back and play,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, well, yes.
And be, I'm going to say Mike Trout on your team is responsible for a net positive of at least 5 to 7 wins. Just his impact on some games alone because of how good he is. And I still think is, I mean, after injury, sure, but he's an athlete. I mean, that guy is been the sleeper incredible athlete just because he plays baseball. Like, you look at Mike Trout, and I mean, that dude is huge.
Monster.
He's fast. He, you know, that guy should be talked about the way we talk about some of these other athletes in other sports because that guy's doing it right. And I'm not super worried about Mike Trout coming back. I think he's going to come back pretty fired up and know, oh, yeah, my leadoff guy just hit 46 home runs. I'm going to try and beat him and try and, you know, get a little competition. I think the Angels have the potential to be super, super fun.
They really do, and you consider too. Trout is at max a 7 WAR player in his career throughout a season, and then also the protection that he provides in the lineup, right in front of Shohei or right behind Shohei, and then you throw in Anthony Rendon, who also didn't play this year, who is, you know, at max a 4 to 5 WIN player. So yes, that right there, just getting those two back is absolutely massive.
And that's kind of like a key point where it's like, as Angels fans, that's what you can look at where you're saying, yes, these arms, but we, you know, there's still time in free agency. Hopefully, we hope with the lockout and stuff, you know, there still is
a maybe an hour.
Yeah, maybe. Well, with the way it leaned up to the deadline, it might just be 2 days and everyone's going to, the Rangers are going to spend another $500 million. Someone's going to spend another $500 million on something. But as for you flip it to the Rockies, you're like, because right now you're leaning on your offensive performance next year to be Ryan McMahon, CJ Cron, and Elias Diaz. And Elias Diaz started the year sub 200 until like after June batting. CJ Cron, again, I love CJ Cron, but CJ Cron, it's like a 280, you know, and that's perfectly fine for what he needs to do. And he played that role great last year because you're thinking Trevor Story's your big name. And then, you know, we're hoping Brendan Rodgers is going to the new everyday second baseman for the Rockies. He's one of the top prospects for a while, finally got in and finally getting consistent playing time. But yeah, when you're listing off these three names for you on the Angels side of who's going to contribute to the offense, and I'm sitting over here, like, none of those names are going to make any pitcher, let alone the Dodgers rotation that you just mentioned led the ERA, you know, led an ERA and all those other stats. The Giants, who we'll see if the elixir of life is going to be 2 years in a row or what that means. And then, yeah, again, the Padres. But I will say the Rockies, for some reason, they can beat the Padres because the Padres did not make the playoffs because of how poorly they played against Colorado in 2022, especially down the stretch. The Padres early in the season, you know, when they were doing that big Dodgers game and it was all hype and it was fun. I'm not going to lie, but I'm sitting here as a jealous Rockies fan sitting like, great, it's the Padres and the Dodgers, this Sunday night baseball, getting all this, you know, this hype. And then, but man, down the stretch, the Rockies couldn't win on the road, but they could win in San Diego. And I San Diego has to be consistent. They have to prove that they can take this team and put a full season because, I mean, Machado's been there for what? Four or five years now, right? At this point?
And yeah, somewhere on there.
I think it's have they made the playoffs yet? Maybe once, I think. No. I don't think they have.
Oh,
I think,
no, they did during the pandemic year.
Yeah, okay, so they made it in the pandemic. But other than, I mean, the Rockies and the Diamondbacks have more recent wild card appearances than San Diego does. So we'll see, but I mean,
crazy
again,
stuff, man.
Yeah, it's baseball. I mean, that's it right
there.
That's, I mean, that's literally it. It's 162
rewind this
games.
Episode.
Yeah.
Rewind this episode. I would just go, it's baseball. End of ep. That's
basically
where we're
exactly. At. But yeah, I don't know.
Paul, great chatting with you, buddy. We got to run, but let people know where to find you.
Locked On Rockies is at LO Rockies on Twitter. We're on YouTube now, too. I was kind of a little bit behind on the YouTube game, but we're slowly chugging along, having some fun over there. I'm at Paul Holden 33 if you want for more Rockies and random stuff. And, that's the best way to find us.
Sweet. All right, Rockies fans, if you like the Angels for some reason, if they're your American League team, or if you just want to follow Shohei content, Locked On Angels on YouTube, at Locked On Angels on Twitter, and I'm at Steve Granato.